Hey everyone, and welcome to Cut to the Chase with Emma and Camila, a series of the Social Sport podcast on the Sidious Mag podcast network. Wow, that is a mouthful, but a very exciting mouthful. Each month on Cut to the Chase, my co-host Camila Jornet and myself, Emma Zimmerman, will give you a no-filter conversation around the intersection of endurance sports and social change. Seriously, no bows, no frills, just honest and important conversations. Cut to the Chase will come out once a month right here on the Social Sport podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to Social Sport wherever you get your podcasts so that you can join us each month and cut to the chase. Hey, Camila, are you ready to cut to the chase?
I am, Emma.
Do you want to introduce yourself again to the podcast in case people didn't hear the teaser we put out?
Definitely. My name is Camila Jornet. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm a writer. I'm an intersectional environmentalist. I'm a longtime distance runner, and I'm also a marketing strategist. I'm currently living in Ventura, California, and I'm really just honored to have these conversations with you and talk about what's going on in our world, what we can learn, how we can evolve, and just to cut to the chase on a lot of these issues we'll be discussing.
I'm so excited to have you here with me, Camila. For folks who don't know me, I'm Emma Zimmerman, she, her, hers pronouns. I host the Social Sport podcast. I'm a writer, a runner, and I'm currently based in Brooklyn. I'm getting my MFA in nonfiction writing, and I also freelance write in the environmental and sports spaces. And I'm just really excited. I think that this series will give us a really good way to dive deep into issues that I think sometimes the interview format, as much as I love it, doesn't allow me to do in the same way. And I could think of no better person to do it with than Camila. I want to start off these conversations with asking each other, how are you really? So Camila, how are you really?
I would say this week I'm good. And I kind of hate that answer of like, I'm good, when people say, how are you? But the sun is shining here in California. I've spent a lot of time outside this week. I've definitely had those weeks where I spent a bit too much time on the couch and just in my hole of Zoom meetings and work. But I'm looking forward to the weekend, even though it's the middle of the week right now. And yeah, I'm doing good. I'm really excited to be here. So that's definitely a highlight of my week. How are you really doing, Emma?
Well, that is all good to hear. And I think it's okay for the answer to be good. I'd say I'm pretty good too. I was definitely stressed the beginning of this week, had a pretty heavy workload on my shoulders, but I'm the sun has been out. It's been so nice out. I've been taking my work outside. I live really close to the Brooklyn Public Library, which is amazing. I'll like sit out there and work. And I live near my three grandparents now, which is really cool. Oh, nice. And they're all vaccinated. So I get to visit them this weekend. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to be here with you today.
Great.
So I guess we'll launch right into this topic that we're talking about. What we're doing is we're talking about, I guess we don't even have a real term to describe this, but social media holidays, like in particular Black History Month, Women's History Month, National Girls and Women's in Sports Day, Earth Day, like these days or month that have been giving a meaning to single out a group of people or a certain thing that we need to celebrate. I don't know if there's a term, Camila, that you want to refer to these by, because there isn't really like an umbrella term, you know?
I haven't found that there is. They often get grouped with holidays, but they seem to carry a lot more weight than a holiday may or may not. They're not religious days. They're more like social movement focused often. But yeah, it's this interesting space, especially right now with social media, to kind of navigate how and when to speak to all of these different important holidays. I guess we can call them holidays. So
I guess we'll just call them, for the purpose of this episode, they are holidays. So Camila actually brought up the idea of diving into these because I think that they also hold a bit of importance in the sports space, or at least we've both seen them taking on importance in the sports space. And I'm excited to dive into this because it is something I think a bit about as well. And just to kind of give you a bit of our rationale for talking about this, March was Women's History Month, February was Black History Month, and National Girls and Women in Sports Day was February 3rd. International Women's Day was March 8th. April 2nd is going to be Earth Day. It's just coming up. So we thought right now was the best time, really, kind of in the middle of all these holidays, to talk about them and their meaning, their pros and cons, their limitations. So yeah, Camila, you want to tell us why it's so important?
Yeah, I think that it's important to have these conversations because there's an interesting societal pressure right now with everyone basically having a platform and having to decide how and when they utilize it. It's just, we're learning in a drastically different way than we used to learn. And I feel like there's so many ways that we can judge others based on what they post or what they choose not to post. And especially this intersection of, I guess the simple term would be to call it like the intersection of sports and politics, but really it's much more intersectional than that. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot of that come out in our world, whether it's as a female athlete, whether it's as a person of color who's an athlete, whether it's as a trans athlete. Like, there's so many different holidays and occurrences that are popping up right now. I'm learning about them myself, but I really just thought it would be fun to kind of chat through why they exist, what's going on with them, and how we can make sure that we're showing up in the way that makes sense moving forward.
Yeah, so important, because I think that it's easy to not think about them and how we're showing up for them. It's easy to kind of just like do the social media posts and not really engage with them more. And I think going forward, I just realized we're recording today on March 31st. It's actually Trans Visibility Day. So I want to make sure to point that out, because I think that is one that gets less of a social media presence because there is so much taboo and political weirdness, I guess I'll say, around letting trans people exist as they are. So I think it's important to point that out as well.
Definitely. And yeah, I guess I'll kind of kick it off just asking you, Emma, how have you shown up for these holidays in the past, and how is that evolving recently?
It's such an interesting question. When we talked a little bit, you and I, about showing up for these holidays, and it made me think quite a lot, and it actually made me judge myself quite a lot, because I realized that the way I've showed up often has been very surface level and a bit questionable. I think back to when I was in college, I feel like a lot of these holidays weren't quite on my radar until I was maybe in college. And I remember posting on social media for like International Women's Day and maybe National Girls and Women in Sports Day. And that's really most of what I remember doing about these holidays when I was in college. And then I tried to think back to my childhood, and I think about the curriculum in my school and how the curriculum in my school, especially like elementary school, would change and would engage with these holidays, particularly Black History Month and Women's History Month. We'd read certain books that we might not read during the rest of the year. And I think about how problematic it was that as a young child, I was being taught that we will learn about women on this month. We will learn about Black people on this month. And the fact that I didn't really question it, that if anything, I was excited to be reading these books, you know, what an interesting book and what an interesting topic. I wasn't really questioning that this wasn't part of the everyday discussion. And I guess to answer the question of how it's evolving, I frankly think less about the month or the day now. I try to at least think about the issue and how I can engage with it always. And I think social sport has been a great medium for me to do that personally. But yeah, I think it's made me think a lot about how these days and months are singled out for sure. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I'm curious how you've shown up for those holidays in the past.
Yeah, I think in all honesty, I mean, maybe most of us have one or two that we felt that we were kind of showing up for. For me, I'm a Black woman, so Black History Month was something I very much grew up knowing that it existed, knowing that we were going to celebrate it, knowing that either some event was going to happen at school or we talked about it at home or things like that. But that also wasn't the only time I talked about Black history. It was just the time that there was like a little spotlight on it. I would say I don't know that outside of conversations with friends or family that I really did anything out of the ordinary for a lot of these holidays, like Earth Day, maybe there was like a cleanup or volunteer something, which in hindsight and action seems to be like a good way to show up for these holidays. But in all honesty, this year, I feel like I almost froze during Black History Month, which for me was interesting because I have posted a lot about Black Lives Matter and underrepresented groups being shown more in the endurance sport world, but I just didn't feel like teaching in February. I was tired and I kind of left that to others. So I kind of have this like push and pull. Yes, this is important, no doubt. Yes, it needs to be recognized, but also what does it really mean to show up and initiate change while also being protective of yourself and your space and what you have room for at that moment too?
What you just said about freezing during Black History Month reminded me of something you brought up when we were kind of planning for this episode. You said that you noticed more white people and less Black people perhaps posting on social media for Black History Month this year. I would love to hear more about that and your general observations about who is posting for these holidays and maybe how that person's identity or you perceive that person's identity affecting what types of statements they're including.
Definitely. And I think for me, and I'll preface this by saying whatever I say is always my opinion and I can only share what my experience is. So this could have been different for other Black people, 100%. But I found that I saw a lot more postings from non-Black people and also brands, because I think brands felt like they really had to show up this February. I also saw a lot of posts from the Black people who did speak out, basically saying, I'm Black 365 days a year. Like, this is who I am. And then I saw a sprinkling of people that did take the time to put together some sort of learning curriculum and dedicate, you know, whether it was a weekly or a daily or an Insta story or something like that to share some knowledge. But it just felt like, speaking personally, I was tired. I was exhausted. I'd been talking about being Black on social media more than I'd ever talked about being Black on social media before for the last 8 months at that point. So I kind of backed off to allow others, if they had something to say, to say it. But it was interesting kind of looking on, and I tried very hard not to make judgments of what was being shared or what wasn't being shared, but just to see so much being shared constantly was almost like, whoa, is this the first Black History Month that has existed? Because there's just so much more content being shared. But maybe that's also just a result of social media and the time that we're living in. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And maybe I see the world too cynically, but I feel like I almost get the sense sometimes, and it's like, you know, like virtue signaling, like I need to post something or I'm a bad white person in this example. Yeah, but super, super interesting and definitely so much to unpack. And I don't think anyone really has the answers on why, but yeah, it's definitely an important dynamic to think about for sure.
I 100% agree. And I was actually having this conversation with my partner recently, and he was like, what were these holidays before Instagram? Like, what was Black History Month before Instagram existed? What did it look like? And for me, I always remember Black History Month specifically as the time that my mom would come in and she would often do art projects as a volunteer about Black artists, or she would come in with Black writers and have us read Langston Hughes or like Maya Angelou, and just she very much saw it as her place to teach the history that I think she worried wasn't being taught. And I think she was correct in that worry that oftentimes it was kind of brushed over. However, in athletics, I don't remember there being that same intersection that we're now seeing with sports really recognizing who plays on their teams and who these people are and how they show up. And I just kind of wondered, did it even resonate with any of my coaches or mentors or teammates that there was this intersection? But yeah, I guess kind of taking it back to social media and what was done before, do you have a recollection of what was done before social media blew up and it became cool to post these graphics on Instagram and things?
No, the answer is no. I honestly don't. And like, I haven't thought deeply about that, but I'm just thinking back to like specifically sports, because we're talking about sports and there is such an intersection between, you know, celebrating the different identities of people on teams and just being cognizant for the issues that exist in the world and how sports can bring them up. I don't think any teams I was on growing up, I don't think this conversation came up. I cannot recall this conversation coming up. And I even think about, I went to a pretty progressive liberal arts school. I put progressive in air quotes, even though, I mean, it was pretty progressive as colleges go. Of course, there are no school is perfect, but I also don't think this came up on my cross country and track teams. And I don't want to, you know, shove anyone under the bus. I don't want to throw anyone out, but I just don't think this was something we were talking about. I don't think during Black History Month we were talking about Black History Month as it related to sports. Same thing with Women's History Month. And I would like to say that's because we were talking about these issues all the time, but I don't think that's really the truth either. So the answer is no. I honestly don't remember before social media. But I'm really intrigued by the memory that you hold of your mother coming in to teach for Black History Month. And I would love to hear more about that, because I've heard a little bit about your childhood, you know, especially when I interviewed you for social sport. But I'm curious what that was like, whether you were proud of your mother's lesson, whether you were embarrassed, what it was like for her to kind of represent that for your class.
I think for me, I don't remember ever being embarrassed. I think maybe partially because my mom just volunteered a lot at the school. So it was almost, I guess in a way, sure, Black History Month was a way for her to have this spotlight and be able to go to a teacher and say, I'd like to come in and do this. And they probably couldn't say no, would be my assumption. But also, she taught lessons like that throughout the school year when I was younger, which is a really interesting way to think about things, because my mom was a volunteer art teacher. She loved teaching art. She would be the person to set up like the after-school art club. And often we would focus on Black artists. And I think she just realized that these pieces of our history weren't being taught. And that's honestly kind of shaped the way that I view things, because it wasn't just a, now we're going to talk about Black History Month because it's Black History Month and we're going to cram everything in. It was like a constant little piece here, little piece there, little piece here, little piece there. And so for me, it never bothered me as a kid. Mm. And I think maybe perhaps when I was in high school and I was in a more predominantly white school and area, maybe I would have been a bit more embarrassed. But she did this when I was in elementary school and middle school, and it was just normal. So I didn't really think much of it.
Well, your mom sounds like just a really cool person, and especially like art and using her art practice to make speaking about Black history more of a precedent in the school every day and every month. Yeah, she just seems like an amazing woman.
She's definitely pretty cool. Happy to have her. But yeah, I guess on that same topic of having these conversations more often, I like to think that because these thoughts are more at the forefront in terms of the inequalities in our world that we're seeing right now, things are coming to light more frequently, whether we realize that it's within the span of a holiday or not. I think an example of that is what happened where the basketball department completely missed the mark during March Madness, which from one viewpoint, you're viewing it as March Madness. From another viewpoint, you're also like, oh, and it's supposed to be Women's History Month, or it is Women's History Month. So it was kind of depending on what lens you were looking through, the issue didn't get better or worse, but it was kind of like a double whammy, I guess, in that sense. But it was neat to see that social media is a great platform in igniting change. And I think we're starting to see more outspokenness outside of these specific days. It wasn't as if that post was only shared because it was Women's History Month. It was shared because it was an inequality at the biggest basketball tournament in college basketball. And I think we're especially seeing a lot of this around women's equality and social justice. I guess my question for you, as we see more of this, do you think it's sustainable for the long haul to continue to have these like moments where social media really does like ride this wave and we see the change happening? Because it seems like as a woman, like these moments can happen every week. Like there can always be something that we bring up.
Oh, it's, yeah, such a complex question, because it comes down to like, is social media ever sustainable for the long haul? I don't know, because social media hasn't been around long enough. But then you think about like the way that the different populations using different social media is always evolving. Like kids aren't really on Facebook anymore. And I guess that doesn't give me a definitive answer, but it makes me think about whether activism through social media with youth really leading activism will be sustainable. And I also think it makes me skeptical about the way social media activism and social media riding on that those moments is tied to marketing. I see it, yeah, this change igniting language being tied to athletes or influencers, often with a brand, often marketing a brand. And I don't know if that is necessarily sustainable, because I don't think capitalism as it works today is sustainable. I mean, that's a whole other tangent we could go down. I also think that it can center the wrong people if you're trying to center a movement, but in reality, social media is, in essence, making yourself a brand. So at the end of the day, is it really talking about Women's History Month, or is it talking about you improving your morals? Is it really talking about Black History Month, or is it about you improving your morals? And I guess that sounds super skeptical and critical, which we are all skeptical and critical. That's why we're here having these conversations. And I do see social media as a great activism tool. I think it's been super helpful in the rise of organizations like Sunrise Movement and so many youth-led activism movements, but I'm, like I said, I'm skeptical and I'm curious. But that topic of March Madness, I know I'm going on and on, coming back to that marketing side of it, Dick's Sporting Goods delivered truckloads of equipment to the Women's March Madness bubble in response, and they kind of blasted their good deed into the internet world, into social media. So it was like this company kind of using inequality as an excuse to act. And I'm wondering how we tell the difference between good values and marketing ploys, maybe especially tied around these holidays and posting on these holidays. And I'm wondering what your ideas are on that.
Oh, I have so many thoughts about that. It's tricky. I'm a strategic marketer for work. I've worked in marketing the last 8 years now, and I really wonder, one, who internally is having these conversations. I think that makes a huge difference on whether actions are sincere or not. I think you also have to look at these within the sphere of what the brand or business is. Like, what is the foundation that they're building on? What is the capital and the funds that they're working with compared to maybe another brand? Like, there's so many things behind the scenes, and it's so easy to post that photo on social media and to look at your social media calendar and mark all the holidays and make sure that you're aligning. But I guess what I just keep coming back to is this activism has to be about more than just a social media post. Like, while it's great to be thinking about these things and at least to be aware that your audience cares, and I think for many brands that's a step, just to post something and go, some people might not like this, but we're going to post it anyway, like, that's a step. I'll give you kudos for that. But how do you back it up all year long? What are you doing all year, every day, in all of your meetings, in your five-year plans, to say, like, this is a value that we're standing with? And once brands realize it's all intersectional and that it all comes together and lines up, I hope that those decisions become easier and you don't always have to hide your marketing ploy, like, behind this cover of, like, we're doing it because it's the right thing to do and we think that's what you want us to do. It's like, no, that's actually what you want it to do. And you're actually working with people that are doing the work. And now we're starting to see that social change. So
when you said before, activism has to be more than a social media post, it made my head spin, because I'm all of a sudden like, is that what activism is becoming? Maybe. And that's terrifying to me. Do you think it is?
I don't know, Emma. It's like, it's so weird to view it that way, because that you're like, you should be taking actions, but then we're all trying to figure out what those actions are. And I think those actions are different for a variety of people. For some people, that might mean you're setting up an auto donation from your paycheck. I love that my employer has something where I could search my nonprofits and I don't even see the money. The little amounts that I send every month just go every paycheck. That's great. But what actions make sense for your lifestyle outside of a social media post? I would be very curious to see what, like, the thought process is for different people in different phases of their life behind these social media posts. I think you look at the younger generation and they're not just using their social media platforms to post, but they're like getting entire movements started. And that to me is something completely different than my generation, and I'm a millennial. I'm okay that I'm a millennial. Like, I think that we're in this interesting intersection, but what is the long-term, like, training plan for activism? How do we look at how it ties into all the pieces that make us who we are, instead of trying to put ourselves in this, like, box of what well, my friends think is activism based on my social media posts. So
yeah. Big shout out to Gen Z there. Honestly, they always amaze me. I feel like they're all activists. For a very brief period of time worked in Boston, I had a short-term position working for a couple journalists, and I'd make like basically an excuse through my job to go out to every youth protest that ever happened and like talk to kids, because I was like, I want to know your mind. You're so, mm-hmm. I feel like they have so much to teach us about using social media to actually foster real action and movements. And it's, yeah, absolutely 100%. Incredible.
Definitely. And I think we're starting to see these interesting moments where the older generations are like starting to figure this out in a way. I recently read a post on LinkedIn, because apparently I'm at the age group where LinkedIn is also a social media platform for me. And it was interesting because it was a woman who's a founder of a company, and she had posted an image where she said, I'm a female, and female was crossed out, and it said founder. And she was essentially saying, I'm just a founder. And by putting female in front of my title, it's leading to this strange space now where it's like, I have to identify myself as a woman, but really I should be on the same level as the men who are founders. And it reminded me so much of these conversations we have in the world of sports. For instance, in my mind, even as a runner, I think Serena Williams is the GOAT. Like, she is the greatest of all time. And I think she's the greatest athlete of all time, period. Like, Serena Williams is amazing. Her tenure, her records, her Olympic medals, like, you name it, she's done it. But I feel like we often see this separation of especially women athletes who are very good in their sport being called the female version of X.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because I don't understand why it even has to be set up that way. But do you think that putting female in front of whatever comes after it is holding us back as we work towards more intersectionality and equality, or is that prefix something that we're still not ready to let go of?
It's so tricky. Both. The answer is both yes and no. I think the GOAT example is a great run, whereas I agree, like, yes, Serena Williams is the greatest of all time. Like, we don't need to put women, whatever, in front of that. And there are certain examples, like, I think for when the default in sports is men, like you think about March Madness and the whole, mm-hmm. all the marketing around March Madness is default. We assume March Madness means men's basketball. And there are still high school sports teams that are like the, I don't know, whatever your mascot is, the Panthers and then the Lady Panthers. And, yes. You know, and when you Google a college sports team, if you just Google the name of the university, X University cross country, the men's team pops up first. Mm-hmm. You have to scroll down a bit to get the women's team. So in those instances, I think that when labels don't allow us to put equal footing or don't allow us to engage with and judge an athlete on equal footing, then I think the label is very harmful. But also I think that we need to be cautious because we can teeter on the edge of, you know, the boomers who say like, we don't need identity politics. And I think that we need labels because our world is not equal and our world is far from equal. And we need to be cognizant of different people's identities. I also think that there can be really strict categories and binaries. I guess this is kind of going back to against those categories. And if you're specifically going back to these holidays and these days, a lot of them are faced around this binary. You know, we celebrate Women's History Month because we celebrate men every other month. Well, how about non-binary folks? How about gender non-conforming folks? Mm-hmm. And then same with like Earth Day, we are celebrating the Earth. We're keeping the Earth clean. Okay, how about environmental justice? How about how the Earth interacts with race and gender and socioeconomic class? And I guess to sum all this up, I'm not arguing for getting rid of categories. I'm arguing for considering when they're limiting and considering when they're harmful and having honest conversations about who they're hurting and who they're leaving out. I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I almost see these instances as kind of, in a weird way, it almost feels like you're entering like at the ground level of these conversations, like acknowledging Black History Month or Women's History Month, or acknowledging the visibility of trans people. Like, that is like, okay, I understand that there's a reason that we need a spotlight here. But when that day's over, when that month is over, that doesn't mean that the work stops there. It would be like if you did a sport and instead of training for your big race, you just showed up to the race and put on your singlet and pinned your bib, and you're like, well, I haven't really done anything to prepare me for what's about to come, but I'm going to post my picture on social media, and I might not have even finished the race. I might have just shown up and taken the photo. Like, that would be silly, unless there's like a bigger story there. But that's kind of, at least you're there. You're at the race. You're surrounded by other people that are acknowledging the race. Like, that is where I think these holidays are still necessary at this point. But I hope that it's like the spark that then keeps the flame going, that keeps us invested. And as you start to collect all these pieces, the intersectionality between them becomes so much more clear, is kind of what I think.
Yeah. I feel like bottom line is we all want, maybe not all of us, both you and I, want to live in a world where eventually we don't really need these holidays, or we can celebrate women and all genders, and we can celebrate all ethnicities and races and just everyone, and we can celebrate identities and intersecting identities, especially every single day. I think that's the bottom line of it.
100%.
So I kind of want to bring this back to sports specifically, because National Girls and Women in Sports Day, it was February 3rd, and I saw a lot of women athletes posting about the benefits that sports have given them. And this has also coincided with a recent wash of bills that would prevent trans girls from participating in sports. And as we talked about, you know, we still need to celebrate these holidays because folks are not on equal footing. Female athletes are still not on a equal footing. You know, we even see this with March Madness recently. But at the same time, how do we celebrate progress and recognize this unequal footing while also realizing who these holidays are excluding, in this case, trans athletes?
Yeah, I mean, it was devastating to see that these things are coinciding. And I think it's just another example of how much work still needs to be done. Like, these aren't just one and done brand moments, like social media moments. These are people's lives that are affected by the state of the world that we're living in. It's we're calling them holidays, but there's also a lot of pain around these holidays for those who feel that they've been excluded, for those who are excluded, for those who are facing literal opponents of them belonging to a space where they see themselves. Like, how devastating to not be included in a month that is meant to celebrate you. Like, it's just, it's absolutely crazy. But I just hope that as we continue to move forward and as there is more visibility, which I think social media definitely gives to a lot of this, that we take these lessons from these moments and like we carry them and we share them with others, and that we have those conversations even when the month is over, and that we look out for what legislation is being passed and who's at the White House fighting for this, or who's at your local city hall fighting for that. Like, there's so many different ways to get involved if we keep our eyes open. And I think as more and more of these days and more of these spotlights begin to arrive, we all know someone who is affected by what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we all know someone that needs this extra day or this extra month to get like that little boost of, you belong, we're fighting for you, we're here for you. And if anything, that's what these holidays encompass, is just recognition that you're being seen. And so I hope we get to a place where it's like, of course we see you. Like, of course you matter. But for now, it is something that isn't perfect, but it's necessary. So
yeah, it is necessary. And I also hope that the folks who are most forgotten about, and I guess I'm specifically thinking about right now, trans folks or the folks who are most marginalized, that their holidays get equal weight to other categories that are more acceptable to talk about, like National Girls and Women's in Sports Day. And then eventually, yes, that everyone knows that they belong and that they matter, although what an incredible world we would have to live in for that to happen.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed by how far away that seems.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of work to be done. And I guess on the topic of these holidays, is there one that you've ever felt is missing, or something that you'd be excited to post about or share about or learn more about?
I would love a holiday where everyone was forced to learn about the history of the place that they inhabit. And like, yes, learn like that stolen land and what Native groups were originally on this land. First and foremost, that is the thing that I would want everyone to learn and know, but also just more like the groups of people that have lived in this area and what this area has meant from a, like what types of careers people have had, you know, just historical events that have happened. I guess the more we know about the historical facts of this place, that the places that we live in and that are so close to everything we do, maybe we'll be a little bit more accepting. Maybe we'll think more critically. Yeah, that's just like a thought. What if everyone was forced to really learn deeply about the place that they lived? Maybe the politics, you know, the different elections happening in your place, like just so much could be encompassed in that. How about you? Is there a holiday that you see missing?
Yeah, I guess it's funny, as you were speaking of yours, I'm like, that's kind of similar to what I was thinking, because I've been thinking a lot about food. I love to eat, but actually more about like where our food comes from. And I'm lucky I live in between mountains and the ocean. And I often think, like, what did people eat before all of this was here? Like, what are the native plants of this area? What are the native animals? What was here before people came and bulldozed everything down, and what can we learn, and how can that better prepare us just to live here? I think kind of along the same lines as you and the history of the place in terms of like the people, I think it would be really interesting. Maybe it's a spin on like Earth Day, where you're not just thinking of the planet as a whole, but you're also like digging into how that affects what happens in your ecosystem that you live in. And I just think that would be something really neat to learn. Like, hey, if you're on a hike, you can actually eat that. Or if you're going for a run, keep an eye out for this bird, because there's something amazing going on right now. So yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, I'm obsessed with that. And I think that we should combine our two holidays. How do you make like a holiday? Can anyone do that? I honestly don't know.
I have to look that up. I'm curious now.
Because I think the combination of our two holidays would be just the ideal holiday. I think we need to make that a thing.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, so Camila, we agreed that we would end on a fun question because we're always going to get pretty deep in these episodes. So I have a fun question for you. I know it was recently your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's actually not quite my birthday yet.
Oh, it's not. Wait, can you remind us what day it is? I'm sorry.
No, my birthday's on the 8th. It's a week from tomorrow.
Okay, okay, okay. For some reason, I thought it was, okay, never mind. This week, got it. Almost happy birthday. When this is out, it will have been your birthday.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So you can, whatever.
The question still stands regardless after I went on that long tangent. You could have your dream birthday celebration. COVID doesn't exist. What would it be?
Honestly, the same birthday celebration I wanted last year because I'm about to have my second COVID birthday.
Oh, no.
I just want to go to dinner with some close friends and sit at one of those long tables and order appetizers that we can all share and drinks where I can go, I want to try a sip of that and have a nice dinner and wear a cute dress. Like, that is literally all I wanted to do last year, and it's also all I want to do this year, and maybe that'll happen next year. But I think it will be a good birthday nonetheless.
Oh, I think everyone who has had to have two COVID birthdays need, like, they need a holiday. That's another holiday we need to make.
I agree. I think two is too many. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before we end this, I think we also want to leave everyone, we talked about always doing this, a call to action, because again, just like social media, you can talk about things so much, but what are you actually going to do? So I guess I'll share my call to action first. So Earth Day is coming up, and we went into this a little bit. It has often been marketed as a time to focus on creating a cleaner environment, you know, clean up the local park, start composting, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, environmentalism can't exist without environmental justice. I also think Earth Day can't exist without Earth justice. And so this April 22nd, I just want to call on everyone listening to consider not just how you can create a cleaner environment, but also engage with creating a more just environment and think about whose stolen land you're on and who in your state will face the largest effects of climate change. That's a big one. Think about which identities. And I guess just to make this a little bit more tangible, I found Vice did this really awesome list of some environmental justice organizations to get involved with, and I want to shout out some of those. I'll leave the full list in the show notes, so definitely check them out, but they included the Indigenous Environment Network and the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment and Nuestra Tierra Conservation Project, so definitely check that list out and think more critically about Earth Day and making it the holiday that Camila and I envision.
I love that. My call to action is actually just to check out an article I read in the New York Times, which was about that LinkedIn post that I mentioned earlier. The title of the article is "She Wants to Kill the Girl Boss," and it's by Catherine Rosman from the New York Times. I just am curious for more people to read it and to kind of have this conversation. I've sent it to some of my friends, both male and female, just to see what their thoughts were on it. I think they do a really good job of kind of both speaking to how sometimes things go viral that you're not expecting. This woman just posted something thinking not too much of it, and it blew up. But also just to open our minds and think about things in a different way, like what can the future look like without these labels and why we're maybe not ready for that yet. So.
Totally. Yeah. That article also really made me think, and I'm curious what other people thought of it. So definitely reach out. I mean, you can reach out to either Camila or myself. You can reach out to Social Sport at Social Sport Pod. Let us know what you thought of this conversation. Camila, this has been so much fun, and it's like revived me. It was just what I needed today.
I agree. Definitely a great way to spend the middle of the week.
Thanks for cutting to the chase with me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the first ever episode of Cut to the Chase with Emma and Camila on the Social Sport Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, the best thing to do is head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave Social Sport a rating and a review. You can also follow along on Instagram at Social Sport Pod. Camila and I are still looking for a sponsor for the Cut to the Chase series. We both feel strongly about working with brands that we believe in and whose values we hold in common. So if you think that might be you and you're interested in sponsoring Cut to the Chase, send an email to socialsportpod@gmail.com. All right, next week we'll be back to our usually scheduled programming on the Social Sport Podcast. In the meantime, stay sporty and keep resisting.